Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hedy Comen Podcast, where I am on a mission to encourage a million teachers weekly. And one of the ways I do that is have conversations not only with teachers, but also with individuals who support teachers and schools. And today, ladies and gentlemen, today I brought him in the building. It just cost me an arm and a leg. Because he's a busy man. He's making a difference. He's impacting students. His heart is growing bigger and bigger for the work that he does. So much so that he's willing to say he'll trade his arm and leg to be able to keep doing the work that he's doing. I know y'all wonder who I'm talking about. All the way from Washington. Does it rain as much as they say in Washington?
You know, not as much as it does here. I've looked it up, so I'm just saying it doesn't as much.
Are you serious?
It miss a lot over there. So.
Oh, it miss, not it rain.
Miss, yeah, big difference, miss and rain.
All the way from Washington State. What year did you come to Oklahoma?
95 and then 2002.
What? Wait, have you lived in Oklahoma longer than
longer I've lived in Washington. I might be considered an Okie. I think so. Don't tell my family, but I think I'm an Okie.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me redo this whole thing because I was going somewhere, but now we got to change it up. Once was considered, what do they call y'all? Washington Knights? What do they call y'all?
Washingtonians, probably.
Yes. Washingtonian. He used to be a Washingtonian, grew up there until the age of 18, then decided to say yes to serving his country via the Navy. Were you a Navy SEAL?
No.
Come on, you can tell me.
No, if I did.
You got any secret stuff? Like, no, you don't. He looked at me.
I wish. I'm trying to think of some stuff just to make myself seem better, but no, nothing's coming to mind.
The one and only my friend for a long, long time. Now, how long have we known each other? Oh,
long time.
Long, long time. Mr. Frank Sanchez. How you doing, man?
Good.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fun. Yeah. We've already kind of talked about you and all that stuff, but what was it like growing up in Washington? Because were you in the big city or are you in a smaller town?
No, I was in a small town, a little town. It's called La Conner. It's a little tourist town. We don't even have a stoplight. So it's just real small, but we're known for our tulips. So during certain month of the year, we have hundreds of thousands of people that will go through our small town. So that's the worst part. We have all these tourists come through here, but it's a beautiful town, beautiful state. So it's amazing.
So you had all these people come through. Did you ever think, like, why aren't we reaping? Because, like, why didn't you all grow? Like, what were y'all doing with the...
Oh, well, no, believe me, we went and got some tulips and stuff, and we sold them. So we did what we had to do to make it. Yeah, we did that. We jumped on that bandwagon, but...
That's good. So what size school did you go to?
It was a B, size B. So very small. In other words, our football team played both ways the whole game all the time.
But y'all were playing 11 man?
Yeah, regular 11 man, but we had 12 players. So I think I was the 12th. I just kind of sat there and held the clipboard, but I was really good at it. So
you dominated it.
I was like, with that pen, I was amazing. So that's probably what led me to here I am today. So, yeah.
From what I recall, you ran cross country.
I did track.
Oh, track. Okay. Yeah. Track. Was that the sport that you enjoyed the most?
Baseball. Or?
Baseball. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went pretty far up baseball, but, life happens, and I got out of that, and that's when I joined. But, yeah, baseball was my thing.
Oh, okay. Well, how did you get into baseball?
My mom, she's a big baseball fan. She loved it. Yeah, she loved it. She would take me practicing every day. She'd be at all my games when she could, and it was awesome. So that was her thing, but then I enjoyed it, started loving it with her, and her favorite team was the Seattle Mariners. So if they were playing, I couldn't talk to her. But when they're done, we'd go out and practice something maybe she had heard on TV and wanted me to try out.
That's good. Way to go, Mom. Whenever you went into the – let's do this. So you're middle school, then high school. Like, Was there ever a leadership moment or something in your high school years that you like now reflect back on that you have began to implement into your life?
I think growing up with with a single mom and three other siblings, it was I didn't have that that male figure in my life. So in school, I've always flocked to my friends because they had dads. I was flocked to the ones that had dads, and then I could recognize some of the people at the school that were kind of like me. So I try to like help them a little bit, like, hey, I know what you're going through, you know.
Yeah.
And just graduation days, baseball games, like I said, or any type of game we're at, seeing the dads come and, you know, and hang out with their sons or anything, I felt a little off, you know. But just moving forward, I think that helped me as far as, you know, especially with my kids and stuff like that, helping me understand that role that a dad needs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's so cool. And so you graduate high school. And how did you decide to go into the military?
You know, I went to college, and it just wasn't doing it for me. And my mom's like, well, it's college or work, and you know, you're not sitting around here all day. So my family are big into the military. A lot of them are Marines. And I was like, well, I'm not going to the Marines. I need to upset my family somehow. I'm not going to the Navy. So I did that, and my mom didn't like it at first, but it was okay, and I enjoyed my time, and yeah, it was fun.
Gotcha. What's the one takeaway from being in the military?
I guess teamwork. I think everybody has their own job to do, but mm-hmm. everybody could also do everybody else's job. So if someone's out, someone jumps in really quickly and takes over. And I really like that aspect of it. We never have to worry about, you know, it's not my job, I don't do that. We were all together, and it made everything roll nicely.
Gotcha. That's good. So you in the military, you end up in Oklahoma for a little bit. I guess you get out. Then you end up back in Oklahoma?
Well, I was stationed here.
Okay.
I think the last few months is when the big tornado hit and more. So we did a humanitarian mission out there helping families that got affected by that. About a month later, I get stationed in Washington. So I go back home and get stationed there. I was there for about 4 years and then come back to Oklahoma and get stationed here again. So, and then I just ended it, my career here at Oklahoma.
Oh, got you. So it wasn't a thing of like, oh, you know what? I was stationed in Oklahoma. Really liked it. I came back. You were stationed here. You just ended here.
Yeah, but I mean, I had a choice when I was leaving Washington. I can go to these places I wanted back here at Oklahoma. I just liked the area.
Got you.
It was the people are great, so I wanted to come back here.
Got you. Now, how'd you end up in Guthrie?
Well, I was working at a staffing agency, and I had some Job Corps people come over there and bring their kids in there.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, man, you know, you do pretty well. You should come and work over here. And I was like, I don't know. I've heard about Job Corps. I'm nervous, you know. But I went over there, and I got to see people in action. I got to meet with the kids, and it was awesome. And I just ended up working there and just come and seeing it.
Gotcha. That's good. What's the takeaway maybe from Job Corps? Now, let's do this. Let's talk about the current job. So what's your current job?
I'm a school-based specialist. Almost like a social worker, but not. We're here in the school, so we help with the students and staff.
Gotcha. And how long have you been doing that?
This is my third year.
Third year. Wow.
It goes by quick.
I feel like it's just last year when you were.
I feel the same way.
When you were looking into the job, I remember you called me or texted me or something and just talking about the job and stuff. So can you, and I know that you are involved in students' lives at a certain level that you probably can't share stuff, but like just kind of day to day, what does it look like for you?
Well, we have not a caseload. We don't like to call it a caseload, but we do meet with students that may have any type of from behavior all the way up, you know, to something a little bit more serious. Teachers usually will let us know, hey, can you come and speak to this student? He's having this going on. And we'll bring the student in, and we'll talk with them and just kind of gauge where they're at, what kind of day they're having, why are they having that day type mm-hmm. things. And that's kind of a daily thing. So we have our normal kids that we meet with weekly, and then we may have some new ones that pop up that we get with. And that's kind of what we do. Also, if a staff member is maybe not having a good time over there, they're having issues as well, because they do. We will meet with them, too, because we just have – resources that we can go to help students and their families out and staff and their families out.
Yeah. What's probably been, you know, maybe give us a great story in a sense of like you were working with a student and this was the outcome. You mentioned one early to me today. I thought that was a great example of kind of the work that you do.
So many. Yeah. I mean, I got two partners right now that could give you a whole load of stories. They're just great. I would like the story I was telling you today. It always sticks in my mind because it's things we just don't realize and we don't understand about these young kids. And we had a teacher that wanted to put a referral on a student because his shoes were really bad, and we want to stop. Hey, you know, well, let's talk to him real quick. Let's before we go any further, let's see what's going on with him, and to find out that he does have shoes. He's got plenty of shoes. His dad had passed away the year prior, and those are the last thing that he gave his son. And his son was adamant, this is what I'm wearing because my daddy gave me. It was heartbreaking when he was telling us, like, I'm a man up. I'm not going to cry. But it was like, man, okay, good, go. You know, take your shoes. Keep wearing them. But then you see him, you know, that was my first year. You see him 2 years later. And he's just, you know, so vibrant and so awesome. Yeah. And he's got different shoes on, thank you.
Yeah.
But he just seeing him again, and you just want to ask him, you know, hey, buddy, you know, how's things going? You know, things like that. And he just wasn't having a good time back then. And now he's just surrounded by a lot of friends and just having a good time. It's good to see that transition from where he was.
That's really cool. And so, and you just probably have story on top of story similar to that, how you're bringing in students to support them. In return, you're supporting the classroom, the teachers. So now the environment is more conducive to them being able to teach.
Yeah, and these teachers, I tell you, man, I was one of those parents that dropped my kid off, you know, and expect them to teach them and put them in Harvard the next day, you know, to go in there and sit in these classrooms, and I'm observing a certain student, but I'm also observing how the teacher is with the students and that student. And I just couldn't do that. I could not do that every single day. I got to leave after 5 minutes. You know, they have to stay there every day, Monday through Friday. So
it's kind of like grandparents, you know, the kids back, grandkids back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's your kid, take off. You know, I just wave to the teacher, you know, and just, I'll pray for you, and I walk out. But it's amazing what they go through daily, you know, and they never falter. Their smile is always there, and it seems like they care all the time, and it's crazy because I probably would have stopped caring a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But no, these guys do some amazing stuff, and I could tell you stories all day.
Yeah,
you know, and again, seeing these kids, some of the trauma they've gone through, and then seeing them later, a couple years later, you just, you know, you're glad they're still here.
Yeah,
you know? And not just that, their families. You go and see their families. Their families are doing better. You know, they seem like they're just having a great time with life. And 2 years ago, they weren't. So it's pretty fun to see.
Like 2 years ago, you thought it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
And then you see them 2 years later, and it's like, oh, it's just part of their story now.
Yeah. You feel defeated right at first. Like, how am I going to help this kid? Mm-hmm. How am I going to help this family? It's been like this for years. What am I going to do? And with the help of the teachers and the staff and then us, we get in there and we turn this family around. It's amazing. It's one of those things that you can just go home and just sit there and think, you know, just look up at the sky and be like, man, what did I do?
Yeah.
You know,
so yeah.
It's good stuff.
What's something, because I know what Job Corps is like. You and I worked together for a little bit there and being able to see those students. What is something that you would say, man, because of my experience at Job Corps, I was more capable of doing this job?
Well, I was nervous about that because at Job Corps, we worked with older kids. Mm. You know, they've been through a lot of trauma in their life. And I figured when I first started, I was going to get to high school or something where, you know, that I'm used to, but I got the little kids and I thought, what am I going to do with these little guys, these kindergartners, I don't know what to do. And I remember that, my first day I went to go help with recess duty and I'm trying to say hi to these kids. And here comes this big guy, you know, why these kids are just staring at me and running around me. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know? But by the end of the year, I'm getting birthday invites, I'm getting hugs, I'm getting high fives. I'm thinking, you know, I think that listening, when I would listen to these kids at Job Corps, because a lot of people never did, listening to them and then putting that into practice with the little kids, just listen to them.
Yeah.
Just, okay, this is what's going on. Tell me what's going on, you know, and not judging them, not being that big, bad adult, you know, that they see us sometimes, just kind of being there with them, having to get on the floor sometimes and sit with them, you know, get to their level and let them know, hey, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to stay, and how can we fix this?
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. What's one thing that you've learned about students, maybe even younger students, like kids or children in general, that you's like, you would give that to somebody else? Like, please understand this about children.
Well, that they're children.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all there.
Yeah.
None of us were perfect. We grew up. I don't even want to tell you the stories I have, but I mean, just, you know, they're little kids. They're young. They're impressionable. They're going to do, you know, mirror things that they've seen. And now this day of age, there's so much more than when I was a kid, you know, social mm-hmm. media and all these things. So they have more that they're watching and you know, looking and learning from. They should be learning other things. And that's what we have to let people know, that, hey, they're still kids, but, you know, bring them to the side and let's try to correct things, but in a different positive way. We
yeah.
can't do the things that we used to do. It's not going to work. So we need to figure out different avenues that will help these kids. So just let them know, hey, they're kids.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying let everything go through, because believe me, these kids thrive on discipline. They love it. So we just have to figure a way to put it in their way.
Now, when you say thrive on discipline, what is that? Like, they thrive on discipline.
I think they love the structure. I think they don't want to get away with things. You know, yeah, they say they do, and most people will disagree. The kids want to go. They don't. They want to be able to have rules.
Mm-hmm.
They love to know that if they break a rule, you know, there's a consequence.
And
our teachers teach consequences to them all the time, and I love seeing that hey, you may be really good at school, but you're messing up over here. So there's mm-hmm. a consequence for that. And I love seeing that. And these kids, then the kids like it.
Yeah.
They don't want to see their teacher sad.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to see their parents sad. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm going with that they thrive on it. They want that discipline.
Yeah. That's good. What have you learned about teachers that, like, you never thought, like, until now that you're interacting with them on this level, you like, oh my goodness, I never knew this about being in the classroom or just teachers' lives in general.
Like, you know, I've been around teachers a lot of my life by going to school and working like a job corps and places like that. I just didn't take the time to really listen to them, to hear them, to see them. They were just in the background. They're supposed to teach your kids and then move on. They get paid great. They have all these breaks. It's not like that at all. It's a whole different story with them. And like I said, I've gone in there and I've sat in these classrooms and I thought to myself, man, the level of anxiety that I would go through that these teachers deal with daily. And we don't ask them just to teach. We ask them to get them ready for fire drills and tornado drills. And then if a fire happens, where do we walk with them? We get them in perfect line. There's so much that they go through, and then they have to teach.
Yeah.
You know, and different personalities. Every one of those kids is different. So you have to figure out, you got the slower learning kids over here, the faster learning kids over here. How do I not keep them bored? How do I catch them up? I mean, it's so much. And I just, like I said, I walk out of the classroom and I thank God that I don't have to go back to that classroom and have to deal with that. But
try to figure all that out.
Yeah. And you know, then they're counselors, they're doctors, they're everything. They're everything in that classroom. Someone gets a boo-boo, they got to make sure it's okay. I mean, it doesn't stop with them. And then when they leave, they're planning, they're doing stuff at home, they're building signs, they're making stuff for their class. Do you guys ever rest? You know, I always want to think that. It's like, it's amazing to see them. So when I see them walking down the hall and they're smiling, I'm thinking, are you smiling? You know, what's going on with you inside? And just want to give them a hug sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Yeah, because you do have some students who kind of push them to the limit, right? And so, and then you can only spend so much time with that student. And then you care for all the other ones. So you want to give them your best.
Oh, yeah.
But it's always potentially one or two that just – I was one of those one or two. Right?
I might have been one, two, and three, but I don't. I mean,
disturbing the whole class. Can't nobody learn nothing. All that, you want all the attention or whatever's going on in your life, right? And but they're still trying to navigate that and do the best that they can. What are some traits that you've seen from the teachers that you like? Oh, this teacher's killing it.
I'm not sure. I don't want to. Leave any teacher out.
But
I think that these guys' passion probably is I think they all have it. They have to.
Yeah.
To do this job. I think that's the main one. You have to have that. You have to have that love for the kids. And in this job. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what people always talk about, the first responders, which is awesome, and we need them. But these guys are on the front lines. I mean, they're the ones who are going to put out the product where these other first responders may be responding to. So we really need to understand daily, not weekly or monthly, daily what these teachers go through. And I think their passion, having that is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, passion is definitely something that I would think is key to being able to do the work, especially any hard work, right?
Oh, this, yeah.
Kenneth, my son, put out a quote on our social media page where he said that it said that on average teachers impact 3,000 lives. You know, if
yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah, that was crazy.
I know. I'm like, man, how many people can say that?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is these guys. It's almost like they're forgotten. You know, it's like, hey, remember us? You know, we have your kid. So
yeah. Hi, I'm right over here with all of your kids. You know, one of the things, one of the reasons that I love trying to support teachers and schools, it's not even so much about the 2+2s. But just the leadership, the life skills that we often learn from a teacher, our teachers, right? And it's like, man, it's so important. And I once learned just how important that was when I first started becoming an advocate for Guthrie. And once I became an advocate for Guthrie and people knew that, they would always reach out to me and they'd be like, hey, I'm thinking about moving to Guthrie. The next question is, how are the schools?
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, oh, schools are determining if people are going to move to your community or not. So now, depending on who you are, you're like, let's keep these schools bad. We don't want anybody moving back.
Yeah.
Or you want to be like, oh, let's let these schools thrive because, man, we get the opportunity to bring in more and more people who are passionate about their kids and want to see schools thrive. And the support of that is just something that I found to be like, that's just crazy.
Yeah. We get a more diverse group.
Yeah.
You never know that this family might come in and they may have that passion to teach. Hey, we need a teacher.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, no, it's really good. What's something that you think people can do to help support schools? Like, in your experience over the last 3 years being involved in the way that you are, like, what would you say? Hey, if you really want to support schools, do.
I think that maybe some volunteer stuff would help them come in and help out these teachers on certain days that they have. Watch out for our kids. Watch out for all our kids around there.
I mean,
I'm not saying, oh, I saw them doing something bad or anything like that. But I see some kids walking home alone, or I see some kids that may be struggling. Well, I know people. You know, I work at a dealership, and I can help this family out, or I do this, and I can help this family out. Because when they help that family, it's better on the kid.
Yeah.
The kid's happy. The kid goes to school. He's happy. He makes the teacher happy. The teacher's great. It's just like a little cycle. So I think them just getting involved with the community, just them going, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
We have so many people here that know a lot of people. And if, you know, teachers need certain things to help with these kids or these kids need things, the community just jumps in and helps. And I've noticed that about Guthrie. I've put in a lot of requests for help, and I keep getting them.
Yeah.
Here you go. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm looking good. You know, I'm helping this family out. It's not me at all. It's this community. So I think things like that, if we can keep them involved, talking with the school, what can we do?
Yeah.
You know, how can we help you?
You have learned, I'm assuming that you've learned, like, if you ask, you'll receive, or like the power of asking. Like, sometimes we don't have because we don't ask.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've been able to learn that through working, doing this job.
Oh, yeah. They, you know, when we started working here, I think a lot of people didn't kind of want us here. Not schools, but community, because they thought, hey, you know, they're bad people. They just want to disrupt our families. And not at all. We bridge that gap between the schools and something higher that could hurt their families. And we want to make sure that they have what they need. They're just a little nervous to ask us, you know. And so when they do ask us, we have to make sure that we commit, that we, yes, this is what you wanted. We're going to try our best to get it and not throw any strings or anything in there. So if we can do that, then that one person tells this other person, and it just goes on and on and on. And now we're strong. Now we're starting to build that strong, but they have to ask.
Yeah.
You know, and I know they get nervous too. You know, they've had issues in the past, you know, or something. And That's where we have to get in there and kind of put our hat in our hands and like, look, man, it's not like it used to be or anything. We're here to help, and we want to show you we can do it. Then that's what you got to do. Then you got to show them.
Yeah.
You know, you got to commit.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. What, when you were growing up, are there any teachers that stand out to you?
Yeah, that
made a difference for you?
My English teacher, Mrs. Shoop, so she's on my Facebook. So if she sees this, Mrs. Shoop, you're awesome. You were just amazing.
I'm a tagger.
Yeah, she was Kathy Shoop. I can call her Kathy now that I'm older. Right? I can call her. Still Mrs. Shoop. I couldn't believe it. She's just amazing. She is our English teacher. I love writing, and so she would let us write these books and stories and everything. I know I wasn't the great at what I did.
Yeah.
So she would. So kind, just to know that my punctuation wasn't all that cracked out to me. But the theory was great. Just everything else wasn't.
Yes.
But she never gave up, and she was very educated. And I didn't think, that she would like me or anything like that because of who I was or how I wrote. She was always there for me.
Yeah.
And I never told her. So I'm telling you now, you were awesome. You were great. I just was scared of adults. And she did it. That was the one, Miss Shoop.
That's good. Miss Shoop. Last question, maybe two more questions. Do you have a funny story that you can share working with students?
Oh, I don't know about funny. Well, okay, so this isn't really funny. It's kind of sad. okay. I told this kid, he's a little shorter, and he said the kids were making fun of him. Because he was short, and I said, and they won't let him play basketball.
Okay,
I said, man, we're gonna take him. So we went out. I went to the recess with him, and it's him, and I don't know what's in the water here, but these fourth graders are like 6 feet, so I don't know. So I was nervous. So we were losing. We just needed 1 point. I told him, man, just give me an alley oop, and I'm gonna dunk this on every one of these kids. I don't care. We're doing this. And these teachers were out there, and I was showing off a little bit. Well, he threw
were
the
you
alley.
Sweating?
Oh, I was sweating. I needed oxygen. My spleen came. I don't know. It was horrible. I needed the ER. And I ran up, and he threw a perfect pass to me, and I didn't get 2 inches off the ground. I think I dunked the net. I fell into the sand. Everybody was laughing at me.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the worst day of my life, but it was fun. And that kid came and helped me up, and he was telling me, no problem. You know, you did a good job. I know he didn't mean it. I know he was just there to make me feel better. And the teachers all had turned around by then, so I knew what they saw.
Yeah.
And they just didn't want me to see it. But it was funny. Other kids were laughing. But then they all just gave me high fives and everything. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Man, Frank, I so appreciate you jumping on and sharing your experience and supporting schools and teachers. And we thank you for the work you've been doing. And if there's any way, ladies and gentlemen, you all need to like and follow. Where can they follow you at? Are you on social media?
I am. I'm just Facebook.
Facebook.
So, yeah.
Frank Sanchez.
Frank Sanchez. Yeah. And I got two partners. Can I throw them out?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We have TJ, who works at the high school, the gentle giant. And then TJ, we have TJ
is a giant he for is. Real.
I tell you, his heart, guys, if I could tell you the stories about him, it's amazing. And then our new worker, Mandy.
Mandy!
She is, like, hit the ground running. Just amazing.
Have I met Mandy?
Haven't met Mandy yet.
Okay.
I had two workers previous that just laid an awesome foundation.
Yeah.
And it made it easy for TJ and Mandy to just hit it. And Mandy came out the gate just – it is awesome. So we got those two. Unbelievable. Guys, you need to get with us. We can help do a lot of things for these schools. It'd be fun. Yeah.
So you're the veteran on the team now.
Yeah, I'm it. I'm the old one. Yeah, yeah.
They're looking to you for guidance.
TJ has been in DHS before, so I go to him a lot.
Okay.
Mandy's also worked in the juvenile, so I could use her questions. And our bosses, from the school bosses and our DHS bosses, are amazing. I mean, I could call my boss right now or 2 a.m. and she's gonna answer that phone. So it's the teamwork here, and having TJ and Mandy on the team is it's amazing.
Just kids. All about supporting those kids.
Oh, they're loving it. These kids are loving it.
That's so cool. Cool, cool. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a hand to Frank Sanchez and the work that they're doing in our schools and supporting teachers. And once again, thank you for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hedy Coleman Podcast. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, as always, go win.